Exodus chapter 38. For burning offerings, he made an altar out of acacia wood. Now, acacia wood was this very common wood in the desert. It wasn't really a wood that you get out of like a big strong tree. Acacia was really like a bush, like a thorn bush. And God had cursed the earth with thorns because of what Adam and Eve had done in the Garden of Eden. And the acacia would have been one of the curses, or the way that it turned into a thorn bush. And its wood was very weak, it broke easily, and it was very difficult to work with. But you see how God used it. And that wood is like us. We're difficult, we're weak, we're under the curse that came upon the earth in the Garden of Eden, and we break very easily. But God used this to make his altar and the things in his tabernacle. So it was square, 2.2 meters long, 2.2 meters wide, and 1.3 meters high. So this altar was not huge. And in some of the other religions, they had huge altars, but God's altar was not going to be huge. And so these great grandiose religious temples and things, even today people use them and think that that is going to please God. That's not the idea. God is the God of small things, and he uses little things like us. And when David and Solomon wanted to build him a temple, God had said, I do not live in buildings made with hands, but I prefer to just live in my tent, in the tabernacle. And so we got to remember that God is in a sense humble, and he is the God of the humble, and he doesn't need some huge fancy looking things to worship him. He likes things small scale. So he covered it with bronze. This is the altar for burnt offering. And he made all the things needed for the altar. The pans, shovels, bowls, hooks, fire pans. That's to clear out the ashes. All of this was made of bronze. And he made a bronze grating and put it under the rim of the altar so that it reached halfway up the altar. And he made four rings so that it could be carried around on the four corners. And there were carrying poles also made of acacia wood, covered with bronze, that went into the rings. So God was always moving around. God wanted to be on the move, and that is how he is with us. He made the bronze laver. This was the big sort of basin in which they washed. And that looks forward to baptism. In Titus, Paul talks about the laver, or the washing, of regeneration. So first of all, a person who wanted to come close to God had to bow his head in humility to get through the gate into the court. Then he came to the altar for burnt offering. He had to accept the idea of sacrifice, that I'm going to be minus after what I've given to God. And then he came to this laver where they washed and that looked forward to baptism. And then after that, he could enter the holy place where there was the candlestick, like church life, the table of showbread, like the breaking of bread, the incense altar, that's like prayer, and then finally come to the most holy place, the presence of God, where the ark was, and the presence of God over the lid or the mercy seat that was on top of the ark. For the tent of the Lord's presence, he made the enclosure, or the sort of, not a fence, but effectively like a fence. It was made out of fine linen curtains. On the south side, the curtains were 44 meters long, and they were supported by 20 posts made of bronze that were in bronze bases, and the hooks and the rods were made of silver. And it was the same on the north side. On the west, the curtains were half the length, 22 meters long, with 10 posts and 10 bases. On the east side, where the entrance was, the enclosure was 22 meters wide. On each side of the entrance, there were 6.5 meters of curtains with 3 posts and 3 bases. And all the curtains were made of fine linen. Now, a lot of this stuff that they used to make the tabernacle, they would have taken with them from Egypt when they left. Now, Egypt is like the world. And so when we leave the world, when we're baptized and we go through life towards God's kingdom, we are taking with us some of the blessings, some of the good things of Egypt. But we have got to give what things of the world we have to God's service. That's the lesson. Here's a list of the amounts of the metals that were used in the tabernacle, where the two stone tables were kept on which the Ten Commandments were written. Now, by the way, the Ten Commandments are written on the tables, and they're called the Tables of the Covenant. And so that was the Old Covenant, what was in the Ten Commandments, and that included the Sabbath. But the Old Covenant was broken and replaced in the end by the New Covenant, which is in Jesus. And the teachings of Jesus repeat, basically, 9 of the Ten Commandments, but there's no mention of the Sabbath. So, if people say, no, you've got to keep the Sabbath, well, no, it's part of the Old Covenant, which was written on tables of stone, which has now been taken away. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the grandson of Hur, from the tribe of Judah, made everything that the Lord had commanded, with his helper, Aholiab, from the tribe of Dan, who was an engraver, a designer, a weaver of the fine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet wool. All the gold that had been devoted to the Lord for the tabernacle weighed about 1,000 kilograms. The silver that was taken from the census of the community, that's when each man had to pay half a shekel, it came to 3,430 kilograms. This was the amount paid by all those who were enrolled at the time of the census. There were 603,550 men who were 20 years or older. Now, that's a lot of people. If that was how many men there were, in fact it says men of military age, if you add to them the women and the children and the people who were the men who were older than that, and you remember that there was a mixed multitude that went up with them out of Egypt, some of the Egyptians and maybe other nations joined them, well, you're probably talking of at least 3 million people walking through the desert. This is huge, a huge number of people. And the way that God provided for them, manna and water out of the rock, was amazing. And this would have been a column of people that would have gone on for a couple of kilometres. Especially, it says, when they left Egypt, they marched in ranks of 5. And if that is the case, if they were just 5 across, that would have really been quite a few kilometres. So they used all this gold, silver and brass, bronze, for the things of the tabernacle. The bronze altar with its bronze grating, all the equipment for the altar, the bases for the fence around it and for the entrance, and all the pegs for the tent and the enclosure that went around it. So you can see there how the people gave, and God gave the gift of the Spirit, the gift of wisdom to Bezalel and Aholiab, so that they could use all the things that were given. One thing you notice about Israel is that although they were very far from God, even at this time, we read in Amos and in Acts 7 in Stephen's speech, they were carrying the star of their god Remphan, and they were carrying the tabernacle of Molech along with the tabernacle of God. Ezekiel 20 says that they took with them the idols of Egypt through the Red Sea. Despite all that, they were very generous, materially generous. Whenever God said, I need something, oh yeah, what can we give you? And it was the same later on, different times when the temple had to be repaired. The people were really generous to God. And it's like they thought that they could buy their way into God's acceptance, even though they were worshipping idols and living a bad life. And we have to remember that of course we should be generous, but you can't buy a relationship with God, and you can't buy forgiveness, and you can't buy a place in God's kingdom.